Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this chance to get together this evening so that we could praise your holy name. You humbled yourself to death on a cross. And so we sing your praise. Lord, be with Brother Cal. Let your Holy Spirit fill this place. And open our eyes, open our hearts so that we may be transformed by what the pastor preaches to us this evening. It is in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you. You know, you watch, y'all, if I ever retire, this right here is going down to the Cumberland River. This thing was supposed to make my life more simple. All it's done is clutter it up. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. I am just... Can I just say, I love the Lord tonight. And I'll tell you what, I love pastors. If you're a bishop, a pastor, an elder, whatever they call you, you're the leader of the shepherd of your, would you just stand so we can honor all of you? Hallelujah. 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 God bless you all. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. Who said James Coles couldn't get 30 pastors together? Hallelujah. Amen. Hadn't it been wonderful this month? And we're not even done yet. We got one more night to go. I may just take off in rapture tomorrow night. Hallelujah. It's been so, so good. We've heard Spirit-filled music, hadn't we? I mean, we've heard some powerful preaching. And let me say something to my brothers. I've heard a few of you all say, well, you know what? There are other people that can preach the gospel better than I can. Let me remind you, no one can preach a better gospel than you can. Some of y'all will get that next week, okay? But we've heard some powerful preaching, great messages this week. And we've enjoyed some, this is the way it ought to be. The family of God, when the family of God gets together, the fellowship ought to be sweet. Yeah. Nobody's got any agenda other than to lift up Jesus. Yeah. And why in the world do we let all this junk divide us when what we have in common is Jesus? He brings us together. Now, I've been Baptist all my life, 9 months before I was born. You know, I was, and you can tell by looking at me, I was Baptist born, Baptist fed, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. But there's only one family of God. There's only one church. One church. Come on, all you Baptists, raise both hands and say, there's only one church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, we're going to get this done tonight sometime. We've been talking about net fishing. I mean, if you've missed that, I don't know. Have you been here? We've been talking. We talked everything that could be talked about under the sun about net fishing. We've talked about casting our nets. We've talked about cleaning our nets. We've talked about mending our nets. We've talked about how to pull the nets up, how to let the nets down. We've talked about different kinds of nets. We talked about all kinds of net fishing. And really, what net fishing is simply evangelism. Yeah. It is. That's what it is. It's sharing your faith, getting the gospel to people. It's soul winning. And have mercy, Clarksville needs some soul winners. Needs some. Now, we're fishers of men, right? And there's a passage over here in Acts chapter 8 that really, really speaks to net fishing. Matter of fact, every single element of net fishing is found in Acts chapter 8. Verses 26 through 40. We're going to look at them tonight. I've entitled the message, Net Fishing 101. Sometimes it's just good to go back to the basics, amen? And so that's what we're looking at tonight. Now, before I read the scripture, we're talking about a deacon who was also an evangelist. How many evangelists we got in the house tonight? All right. All right. His name was Philip. And he met a man from Ethiopia who was a lost man. And man, this is a divine encounter, a divine appointment that God set up. And all he wanted to do, Philip to do was just go cast the net. And you know, sometimes, y'all, God wants us to just cast the net for one person. And when that one fish gets in the net, it's then possible to get the drag net out and bring a whole nation to Jesus. Y'all will get that hopefully by the time we get to the end of this passage. Hallelujah. So let's take a look at it. I know we've been up and down like yo-yos, but can we stand in the honor of reading of God's word? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Now, brother, let me just stop right there. That's an unusual combination, a deacon and an angel. Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.
Yes, sir.
This is desert. So he arose and went. JD, where are you? Grab a microphone. This is our minister of prayer right here. He is a prayer warrior. Ask God to bless the word tonight, JD, would you?
Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for everything that you have done.
Hallelujah.
Father. Dear Lord Jesus, as we've come before you tonight, I pray, Father, for each heart, each soul, each eye, each ear to be open, Father, to hear and to see you, Father, to feel you. And just to feel your very presence, Father. Lord, I pray for my pastor tonight, Father. I uplift him to you, and I pray that you will speak to him, Father. I pray, Father, the words that you have given him, dear Lord Jesus, that they will just overflow and run from him like fountains of water, Father. And Lord Jesus, I pray that if it should be your will, that the message that he has prepared, Father, that you have given him, Lord, if you want to deviate from that, or if you want to change it, Father,
hallelujah.
Lord, you have freedom to do whatever you want to do. So, Father, tonight we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Oh, this is going to be fun tonight. Y'all forgive me, from time to time I got to sit down. I got some back issues going on and some leg issues. Now, I don't have a yellow streak running down my back, but every now and then I've got some back issues that's causing some. Anyways, just pray for me. I'll be all right. I was out at Kenwood, Calvin, preaching one Sunday morning, and all of a sudden my whole right leg went numb. I mean, went numb. And I tried to take a step, and I was going down in the floor. And these two, Bishop, they were larger men than you were. And they had gotten up out of the front pew and they were fixed to come up here and scrape me out of the floor. But by God's grace, somehow I was able to pivot and grab one of those choir chairs and sat down and never missed a beat preaching. So anyways, hallelujah. And so here's where we are tonight. I want to talk to you about net fishing 101. Every element of soul winning and net is right here in this passage of scripture. First thing I want to say, first movement in this text, the tenor and tone of this text talks about is simply God is looking for some prompt soul winners. Look at your neighbor and say, soul winning. Now look at your other neighbor and say, he's talking about net fishing. All right. Now watch this. The angel of the Lord, now you know the word angelos means messenger. The angel had a message. He had a message for Philip, who was a deacon and an evangelist. And he says, arise and go toward the south. Now, he's asking him to get up from where he is and to go. And that's what a soul winner does. He gets up and goes, right? And so he's headed down south. I've been on this road. I've been on this highway out of Jerusalem. It's a dry desert road. It's called the Gaza Strip. And how many of y'all been there? Y'all know how deserted and dry it is. And so I want y'all to get on the internet of your imagination tonight, and I want to do a little desert duty with you. Can you travel this desert road with me tonight? Yeah. All right. Those of you that can, say, I am.
I am.
All right. I will.
I will.
I'm on it.
I'm on.
All right. Look, watch this with me now. The angel says, arise and go. And guess what? Philip just got up and went.
Yeah.
That's a key element to soul winning and net fishing is simply obedience.
Yeah.
Mike Burdett talked about that the other night. Obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience.
Yeah.
He got up and went. Now notice what he does not say. He doesn't say, well, I think we better form a committee first. Or I think we better run this by the deacons and the pastor first. Or I think we ought to vote on this. I heard about a church, y'all, a few years ago down in Georgia that voted no on starting a visitation program in neighborhoods, knocking on doors and sharing Jesus. We don't vote no on the commands of Jesus. We just get up and we go. I think Calvin said something about the Great Commission somebody said it about the Great Commission the other night. I mean, the Great Commission tells us to go. And when we, and here's the good news, when we obey the go, God supplies the load.
Yeah.
Some of y'all will get that next week. Hallelujah. So if we'll just be obedient and get up and go, the Holy Spirit of God will use you. And He'll bless you. Woo! Now, he just got up and went. He said, okay, Lord. There's Kevin Kennedy back here, my brother. All right. Now watch this. Look at verse 27. So he arose and went, and behold. Now I told y'all over at Kenwood, behold means look a here. It's Montgomery County for watch this. I mean, lean in, start tracking with me. I got something important to say. Listen up. He says, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who had had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so, what you've got here is an obedient soul winner. The angel didn't even really tell him where he was going or who he was going to see. He just went.
Yeah.
Now he's headed south. He's got the direction, and so he did. Now what y'all may not know is this. Do you know where Philip was when the angel called him to go? He's in Holy Ghost, heaven sent. I mean, devil fighting, strong preaching, fast growing, snot slinging. I mean, soul arresting, sin convicting, revival in Samaria. And God says, I want you to get up and go. You know, sometimes God will call you to a little one-on-one duty. To leave the mountaintop and go down into the valley.
Yeah.
Right? I would imagine if God's going to put some faces on your minds and on your hearts tonight. And when that happens, you know what? You better get up and go. We need to be obedient, brothers and sisters. And so Philip's excited. He's got a divine appointment. He's looking everywhere. And so he is obedient to the Spirit of God. He's obeying the commands of the Lord to be a soul winner, to be a net fisher, whatever you want to call that. Okay? James, I was looking at the internet today, and I clicked on net fishing videos, and there was this one video, and they had a drag net, I guess it was. It was as long as this platform, and it was full of fish, and they had 19 folks trying to pull that thing in. Do y'all know how many lost people we got in Clarksville? When are we going to get obedient to this call and command on our lives? We ought to be pulling them in like that. We ought to be having community baptismal services down here at the river. Hey, wouldn't that be an awesome thing to see so many people saved over the next few months that all of our churches got together and we just started baptizing folks together? Wouldn't that be great? That could happen. That could happen. And so the first mark of a prompt soul winner is he's obedient. And by the way, every morning, every morning. Get in the Word of God before you leave the house. Start praying. And you know what I have found, Bishop? When I ask God to put me, some people in my path, to give me some divine appointments, some divine encounters, you know what God does? He just lines them up all day long. Because it's not His will that any might perish, but that all might come to repentance. And so God will line them up. All He's looking for is some obedient soul winners. Here's the second thing. This cat is not only obedient, this deacon, this evangelist, he is observant. Now, I just read the scripture there with you. He's now he's on the y'all on the Gaza Road with me, right? I mean, we're taking this trip together, right? Look at your neighbor and say, together. We're on it. Now, he off in the distance, he sees this cloud of dust. And he gets a little bit closer, and his heart begins to get a little beat a little bit faster. And he's excited, and he's delighted that he's been invited to cast the net over somebody, right? And then in the midst of this great big cloud of dust, there in the middle of this caravan, there's a covered chariot. And he knows this is the one. This is who God wants me to see. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we've got opportunities all over the place. All you got to do is go out the front door. I had a lady on staff at one of my churches with me, and she said, I don't know any lost people. I said, do you ever leave the house? And you know what she did? She repented of that about a 2 or 3 days later, because I told her, I said, go next door. Go across the street. Go down to the grocery store. Go to the bank. Just go to the ball games. There's lost people at ball games. They're everywhere. They're all around us. I read a story about a shoe company that was hiring, and they wanted to send a shoe salesman to Africa. And so they hired this young guy, first time out, you know, and he gets over to Africa, and 2 weeks later, he sends an email back to headquarters to the company. He said, man, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to quit. I'm leaving. He said, no, he said, I can't sell any shoes over here. People don't even wear shoes over here. And he left, and he quit. So they hired another guy, and this young fellow went over there, and the headquarters got another email from him. And you know what he said? Send more shoes. There's prospects everywhere. Just get observant. Get your spiritual eyes open. They're everywhere. They're all around us. And so God tonight is looking for some prompt soul winners, some net fishers who'll be obedient and observant and do and answer the call to go. Just go. And by the way, y'all, it's not our job to save anybody. God does that. All we're supposed to do is be the mouthpiece. Right? Would y'all all come back Sunday morning? Hallelujah. This is the way it ought to be. Now, every time, listen to this, watch this. Now, lean in, don't miss this. Every time God has a prompt soul winner, He's got a prepared sinner. All you got to do is go. All you got to do is go. Watch this. Watch this. Let me read that again. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. Now, this cat, this Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip saw the chariot and he got up there, he began, man, this guy's, he's an influential, he's a responsible, respectable man. He's wealthy. Can't you just see this dude riding down that Gaza Strip in his Egyptian convertible with his Armani suit on, Gucci shoes on his feet, Rolex watches on both wrists? I mean, that's who we're talking about here. This cat's wealthy. He's influential. He's responsible. He's respectable. He was the Secretary of Treasury for all of Ethiopia for Queen Candace. My. He's respectable.
Yes, sir.
But he had everything that he needed. He had everything that he wanted except the right thing. He didn't have Jesus. He didn't have a relationship with Christ. And can I tell you, we are surrounded by folks who have a lot of stuff. But I don't care how respectable, how responsible, how influential you are. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me one iota. If you don't have Jesus, you're like a golf ball in high weeds. You're lost. Lost. This man needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. Oh, bless God. And Philip had what he needed. And you got what folks need if you got Jesus. Well, let's move on. We might get through by midnight, James. I don't know. One thing I love about my black brothers and sisters, y'all throw your watches away when you come to a worship service. You ain't worried about it. Time is of no essence. Hallelujah. Woo! Now, he's not only respectable, this cat is religious. Now, where is he going? Where has he been? He's already been to Jerusalem. And where's he from? He's way down in Ethiopia, next to Africa. He had heard about the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He'd heard about all the miracles and the things that God had done for his people and how he brought them out of the land of Egypt. It brought them out of slavery. How they crossed the Red Sea and drowned all the Egyptian army. He knew all about the manna that God fed them. He knew about the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. He'd heard about all the miracles. He'd heard about Jericho and how they'd marched around the city. He knew all of that. And so he says, you know what? I need to go to Jerusalem. This is a man looking for God. Right? He's looking for the Lord. This is a man on the road to Gaza, but he's looking for God. And he gets to Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Woo! We were in Israel. It's been a couple years ago. And we'd been down in the Dead Sea area along the Gaza Strip. And we're headed up, we're in this bus. And we're headed up. And you know, between, you ever heard of the Jericho Mile? Well, Jericho's way down here and Jerusalem's way up here. And so we're in this bus and we're going up this 17-mile stretch up to Jerusalem. And we get into Jerusalem. You know what our guide, he plugged in a tape. You know what he started playing? Remember Diana? What was the name of the song? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Man, what a song. And that's how this guy was feeling. Man, his heart was beating faster. And as he walks through the eastern gate, can you imagine? And he sees the holy temple, the eighth wonder of the ancient world. And he sees the sacrificial system. And he sees how the priests are administering the sacrifices. Oh, he's religious, brothers and sisters. But sadly, did you catch that? It said, and he was returning. You know what he found in Jerusalem? It's supposed to be the most religious city in the world. And it still is today. But he found a dead, decaying, dry religion. And some of you up in here tonight, that's what you've got. Religion won't save you. It won't change you. And let some of you are sitting here right now and you're wondering right now, you know what? I'm not experiencing what this cat is. I don't have what some of these other brothers have. I need something. You can get what he gets here in just a minute. We're going to have that. We're going to have an altar call here in just a few minutes. So you need to be ready for it when it comes. All right? Now, he's returning. And by the way, he's a religious man. He'd gone to the most religious city bishop in the world. And he went up there thirsty, and he came away dry. You know, I got to thinking about our worship services and our churches, and what do you want people to experience when they come to your church? Huh? I've noticed, now not just in Clarksville, okay? But I've noticed there's two extremes in worship services in most churches. Either you fry or you freeze. In one church, man, everything goes. They're swinging from the chandeliers. They're rolling around on the floor barking like dogs. Anything goes. They're fired up. They're heated up. And anybody that comes in there scares them to death. And then, of course, we Baptists are famous for the, we're the church of the frozen chosen. Come in, man, it's like being in a morgue. Everybody's dead. Did y'all hear about the church that had a guy die of a heart attack right in the back row? I wouldn't sit on the back row anymore, y'all. Steve Lanham. And they called the EMTs, they called 911, and they come running in to find the guy, and they had to go through six different people before they found the right guy that was dead. Hallelujah. Oh, have mercy. You'll never meet another pastor quite like I am. I'm crazy. Anyways, I am crazy, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. Hallelujah. Now, all right, watch this now. And sitting in his, now, this cat was not only responsible and respectable and religious, he was receptive. Watch this. He's receptive. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to meet him. I wonder how many folks we got that are running to a witnessing opportunity. Philip ran to meet him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. He's receptive, you see. And you might be surprised if you'd get out and start just casting a few nets. You'd be surprised at what God's already doing. You may think you're going fishing, but what happens is you find God's already been fishing. When he goes fishing, man, something happens. And so this cat's reading from Isaiah. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But brothers and sisters, they are, I say it again, I wish I had a better vocabulary to tell you, they are all around us. They're everywhere. And we're huddled up in our little nice, comfortable churches. And Pastor Catherine Walker said it over there at NJ5, 85% of the people that live here are unchurched. That more than likely means 85% of them are lost as last year's Easter egg. He was receptive. The Spirit of God was working on him already.
Yes, sir.
All right? And so that's the... Anytime you've got a prompt soul winner, God always brings in a prepared sinner. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Here's the last part. And man, it gets even better. Y'all ready?
Come on.
Look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready.
Ready.
What's that song? We ready. We ready. Well, y'all listen to all this secular stuff too, I see. All right. Okay. Watch this. And in the net fishing experience, in the soul winning experience, anytime you've got a prompt soul winner who's obedient and observant, anytime you've got a prepared sinner who's receptive and responsible and ready and religious even, you know what God does? He brings in a powerful scripture. Powerful scripture. Hallelujah. Look, watch this. Don't miss this. Man, this is good. The place in the, I'm reading from verse 32, the place in the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearers is silent. And he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? The clearest picture we have of the cross of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, outside of Psalm 22, is Isaiah 53. That's a quotation from Isaiah 53. I mean, and so he's reading about the crucified Christ. Man, he's reading about what the prophet Isaiah had to say about the Lord Jesus. And he didn't quite understand who the prophet was talking about. And listen to what he said. The eunuch answered Philip, and by the way, go home tonight and read Isaiah 53. We don't have time to go there, but you'll see Jesus on every verse. And by the way, Jesus is in every verse of this book. He's in every chapter. He's on every page. He's in every book. He's in both Testaments. It's a hymn book because it's all about Him. Hallelujah. It's a history book. It's His story. Get in the Word of God. That's what we got to do. Now watch this. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? He didn't know. He needed some help to understand the Word of God. I mean, lost people don't understand the Word of God, y'all. We got to help them. But when the Holy Spirit's working and you got a soul winner who's using a powerful scripture, man, something good's going to happen every time. And so he says, who is the prophet talking about? Which one? He said, who is this one? Who is this one who forgives sin? Who is this one who cleanses and gives salvation? Who is this one that the scripture's talking about? Who is this one who has all power? Who is this one? There's only one name that qualifies. His name is Jesus. 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 Say that name with me. Jesus. There's something about that name. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. At the name of Jesus, demons flee. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, the scripture opens up and brings given life. Hallelujah. Bless God, Jesus is not only the living word, He's the written word. Hallelujah. Who is this one? And he's in his Bible, is he not? Now, I know he didn't have the whole New Testament yet. But bless God, he had the Old Testament scriptures. And so he's reading it. You know, it matters if you really want to get to know someone or somebody. For instance, if you want to know about the stars of the universe, you're going to study astronomy. But if you want to know the bright morning star, get in the Bible. If you want to know about the rock of ages, the ages of a rock, you study geology. If you know the rock of ages, get in the Bible. Hallelujah. If you want to know about roses and lilies, where are you going to study? Botany. But hallelujah, if you want to know the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, get in the Bible. If you want to know what lambs do in the pasture, man, you're going to study zoology. But if you want to know the Lamb of God and get in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to study the Bible. Hallelujah. The Word of God, a powerful, powerful, powerful book. Now, and I love this. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, just preached Jesus to him. Why do we make something so hard out of this? Huh? We make something so hard out of it. Man, if you don't know some scripture and you're out casting a net and you're sowing, just tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. You've got a testimony. What was your life like before you met Christ? How did you meet Christ? How did you receive Christ? And what's Christ doing in your life now? Nobody can argue with that. Just get them to Jesus. And by the way, you can learn just a few short scriptures over there in Romans and lead anybody to Christ. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Listen, quit making something so hard out of this. The plan of salvation is so simple, a little boy, a little girl can get it. Hallelujah. Catherine, I hear these preachers from time to say, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to preach on. I just don't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I can't find a text. Well, here's my solution to all that. Just jump on Jesus and head out. Just get on him. Your folks probably know very little about him. Just preach Jesus. That's what he does. He leads him to Jesus. And watch this now. We're not done. We're almost done. Bishop, forgive me, but I'm not going to say I'm closing. All right? We preachers are bad about that, and I'm including myself. I'm closing. And then another 35 minutes later, we finally close. That's me. Yeah. So I'm not closing. Yes, sir. All right. And so, verse 36. Now, as they went down the road,
yes, sir.
Down the road,
yeah.
They came to some water.
Yeah. Wow.
And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Woo! Now, let me just park right here. I told y'all already, I have to apologize. I've been Baptist all my life. And we call baptism believer's baptism because we believe Acts 2:41. Once they gladly received the word, then they were baptized. And they weren't sprinkled or dipped or anything like that. Now, if you were christened or any of that stuff, we're not putting that experience down. But I believe in doing things like Jesus did. And he didn't go down into the water to get sprinkled or christened. He went because baptism is a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Y'all with me so far? Dr. Robert Smith told me one time, Calvin, he said, if somebody doesn't get mad at you and get up and leave every now and then, you ain't preaching. So, anyways. And so this beautiful picture of baptism takes place. And he said, here's water. Deacon, preacher, can I be baptized? Look what he says. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. In the New Testament, as soon as somebody believes, they're pretty much immediately baptized. There's no 16-week baptismal courses. Help me. Now, we're baptizing one of our Good News Club young men. His name's Giovanni. Y'all go ahead and thank God for Giovanni. He's about this time. He's about 10 or 11, and we're baptizing him right down here Sunday morning. And I've explained what baptism is to him. So, yeah, you need to explain what baptism is to him. But he said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, you can if you believe with all your heart. And that Bible word for believe doesn't have all it's right here and here. Both places. The Bible word for believe means to place your entire weight, your entire self on someone or something. It's not this half-hearted, half in, half out, half committed mess. It's giving everything that you are to everything that Jesus is. That's what it is. And when you turn from your sin, the word repent's real easy to remember. It's just a spiritual U-turn.
Yes, sir.
You turn from your sin and turn to Jesus as your only means of salvation.
Yeah.
That's what somebody up in here tonight needs to do.
Yes, sir.
And so the Ethiopian eunuch stood up and said, I believe. And then you know what Philip said? Stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. Look at your neighbor and say, stop the chariot. Verse 38 says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still. Does the chariot stand still? I don't know, but it stopped. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, down into the water, down into the water. And he immersed him, baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, do you see that beautiful picture of baptism? They jumped down. He's made that profession of faith to everybody. And so he's ready. Baptism is kind of, now this is, some people get antsy when I say it, but it's kind of your coming out party. And bless God, everybody else is coming out of the closet. It's time we do too. I told you somebody's going to get upset. Anyways. And so they get down into the water, and he says, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus, after he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And man, can't you just see that Ethiopian eunuch jumping up? Water going everywhere. Spewing all that water out. I mean, hallelujah. Baptism is a wonderful experience. And by the way, don't miss this, preachers. Listen to this. This verb, caught away, that is the same word that Paul used in Thessalonians chapter 4 for the rapture of the church. Woo! You want to get caught up in a glorious, rapturous experience? Get busy leading somebody to Jesus. Hallelujah. The deacon evangelist, the preacher, looked around and Philip's gone. He's headed to another divine appointment. He's headed to do some more net fishing, Brother James. All over those cities in Caesarea. Bless God. Now don't you just imagine after this scene, the preacher's gone. The Ethiopian eunuch is sitting up high in that chair. I mean, those horses have the Holy Ghost hop. I mean, they've got the glide in their stride. I mean, they're on it, you know. Everything's different. Everything's changed. That's the way it ought to be. And so now they're on this lonely stretch of road. Just imagine that. And I bet you sooner than later they saw a passerby, maybe even a hitchhiker on the Gaza Highway. And so the Ethiopian eunuch pulls over and says, hey, man, you need a ride? Oh, yeah, it's so hot and dirty and dusty. I definitely need a ride. I'm on my way to eat. Oh, really? Well, that's where I'm going. Hop on up. And I would imagine, I'm just reading with sanctified imagination, okay? But I would imagine he had a captive audience. And I imagine that Ethiopian looked at him and said, hey, has anybody ever told you about an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me? Bishop Gardner, I bet you he had a sign on the back of that chariot that said, honk if you love Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, don't you think it's about time we started chasing some chariots? Don't you think it's about time we started casting our net? Don't you think it's about time we got somebody on our heart and give them a good dose of Jesus? Don't you think it's about time, brothers and sisters, we had a bad case of I can't help it and just began to open our mouth and lead people to Jesus? Well, have mercy, it's 7:48. And the Spirit of God's still with us. Come on, Second Mile. Y'all smile. It won't help you, but it'll help me. Come on. Now, that's about all the honey I can get out of this Bible beehive. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to cast this net right now. Where's Andrew? Where's Brother Andrew? Where are you? Now, I want to share with you. We're going to cast the net right now. If something's not right in your life, and you've really never enjoyed the power and the presence of God, and you just keep on sinning and nothing gets any better, and you're just ashamed and guilty and embarrassed all the time, listen, what you need to do is get saved. And here's how you do that. Jesus has paid the price for you. Every single sin that I've ever committed, Jesus paid it all. Every single thing I've ever done wrong, Jesus' blood shed. And when I received Him, it made me righteous. And so if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and surrender everything that you are to everything that He is, my Bible says in Romans 9 to receive Him as Lord. Then He'll become your Savior. And if you'd be willing to surrender to Him tonight by faith, you can walk out of here born again. You can walk out of here saved. And this is what we do every Sunday. When I preach the gospel, I'm going to give somebody an opportunity to receive the gospel. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of response. The altar's open. And maybe you don't need salvation, but you got family members. You got a kid. You got a wayward son or daughter. You got somebody in your family that's way away from God. Well, that's what this old-fashioned altar is for. To me, God, there's prayer warriors all over the building tonight. If you'd be willing to just come and profess Christ, man, we'll give you some getting started right stuff in your hands. We'll pray over you. And the rest of you that have some other issue, we'll pray over you too. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to stand and sing this great old hymn. And we're going to ask you to come. Father, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, I want to ask you, Lord, save souls. The net's been cast. The plan of salvation has been shared. The Spirit of God's with us. Oh, don't let anybody leave Second Mile Church lost tonight. And Lord, don't let us leave here without lifting up a wayward child or daughter or son. Help us to bring them to an old-fashioned altar and impart boldness to us. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand quietly and reverently.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.